Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Nazis used it true. Kills roaches and rats better than most traps do. Aluminum waste, get a taste of what they do. Instead of throw it out, they charge it to you. Just the facts, man, just the tax, man. Just a way to get away with a son of Sam scam. Sons of Nazis, man, this ain't Yahtzee, damn. Eugenic crazies ain't phased me, blazing at the man. Damn, nation, you ain't face up to the plan. When European land said, hell no, and no thanks. No woman, no man should be forcibly medicated in secret. They couldn't keep it, frequently speak it if you
You're
can.
Being attacked by propaganda. You're being attacked by propaganda. You're being attacked by propaganda. You're being attacked by propaganda.
Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride.
Who's down to red?
Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride.
Who's down to dead?
Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride.
Who's down to red?
Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride.
Who's down to dead?
Bone cancer, fluoride.
Who's down to red?
Brain cancer, fluoride.
Who's down to dead?
Chronic fatigue, fluoride.
Who's down to red?
Fluoride.
Who's down to dead?
It's quite astonishing, Paul, the degree to which environmentalists have not been educated about fluoride. You know, and I'm a reporter, I'm not a scientist or a doctor. You know, I'm quoting documents, I'm citing lawsuits when I refer to fluoride as a major industrial air pollutant. In fact, the leading air pollutant in the aftermath of the Cold War. Those are not my words, that's not my opinion. That's a quantitative assessment by industry experts of the scale of the lawsuits that they were facing.
You don't like it, do something, nigga. Where I'm from, it, we don't like it, we do something, nigga.
Yeah. And good morning, CKLN listeners. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, for the fourth day of March of the year 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947. And after the show around 8 o'clock in the morning at archive.org, you can download copies or at radio, the number 4all.net, radio4all.net. You can see the links at blackkrishna.blogspot.com, and you can email me at blackkrishna@gmail.com if you want to be in touch with any questions, answers, suggestions, what's on your mind. And I want you to holler if you hear me. If you hear me, and that's right, we are hollering and we are asking people to hear us. Why? Well, because, you know, every a-hole, to avoid using the word, every a-hole has an opinion, but those of us a-holes who put that opinion on a piece of paper, it's entirely possible that other people may take us more seriously. A couple of little conversations recently going on. I talked to a friend of mine, don't know too well, kind of an acquaintance, but good guy. And we just had a chance to hang out recently because something was going on, and the conversation of vaccines came up, and he mentioned that one of his kids has diabetes, and he thinks it's because of the vaccine. His other two kids, he's now homeschooling. He just got them out of school, and he says to me as a parent, you can't send them to school if you don't give them their shots. They won't take them. They won't let them in school. And I said, that's not true. And he's looking at me like, should I hit this guy? I like this guy. What, should I hit this guy? No, I'm not going to hit this guy. What the hell is this guy talking about? And I'm glad he had that reaction. Because I did explain to him, there are legal Ontario government vaccine exemption forms at VRAN.org. But, you know, we were talking for a sec, and we kind of had to hang out. We kind of have to see each other once in a while. And so I've got to decide here in Communist Canada, you know, should I change the nature of our relationship where we hadn't talked about anything like this before, per se? You know, general cracks on this and that and the other, but not, no, seriously, man. The vaccine industry is trying to kill us and mess with your kids. So do this, and don't let them fool you. And the government's in on it, and the media's in on it, and everybody in on it. You know, at least that's the estimation based on how vaccines are promoted in our culture. And so I whipped him out. I whipped him out. I reached into my bag. I whipped out my man Yuri, a.k.a. the Sandman's little vaccine ingredients flyer, 10 to a page, little 1x3-inch piece of paper, and brilliant, beautiful. Just shows all the vaccine ingredients and basically what they do to your body. Partial list, anyway. And then I whipped out my own little don't get shot version of the same. So two small 1x3 pieces of paper. Explained to my friend, I said, here in Communist Canada, you know, it's a lot easier if I just do this. And then we get back to talking about, you know, how great it was that Canada just won the gold medal. And he was like, all right. So he takes his stuff, puts his pocket, and then he turns to me and goes, you know, it was really great to win the gold medal, wasn't it? And we were back to chill it out. And so, I'll let him digest this on his own time. I can kind of, and here on the show, here on CKLN Radio 88.1, on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, when I do host the show, my colleague JD hosts the show on Wednesdays and Fridays from 6 to 7 a.m., but Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, I do tend to kind of, sometimes I will go off and I will kind of scrap like a boxer when it comes to this whole news journalism taking on the powers that be evil on behalf of my community at a community radio station. And sometimes people just aren't ready for that. You know, the human mind is not a dumpster. So if you know 25 things and they're used to getting, you know, 3 or 4 things an hour in terms of bits of information, and the information isn't this heavy, then just trying to explain what you know in a really, really complicated way, you know, just may not work. You know, I've often told people, if I can give you three, it's better if I only give you 3 things that you keep and repeat than if I give you all 10 or 15 that I know about a topic. And so there's an example there. And just last night, too, at other buddies' place, the topic of fluoride. I mentioned today, and I gotta bring this up. The reason I start off today's show with my song Fluoricide, which is one of my most popular songs. I think it's pretty good. And Dr. Dre beat Deep Cover, from the movie Deep Cover with Lawrence Fishburne. So tons of like esoteric stuff there for people that that understand hip hop culture and so on. But here's the point. All right, so I'm there. We're talking about fluoride, and he says to me, you know, straight face, you know, I was always under the assumption that fluoride was good, you know, to improve dental health. You take it in, and it makes your teeth stronger somehow. And I, you know, what am I supposed to say to him? I'm not saying he's wrong. I don't want to say he's, because he's not wrong. You know, I mean, if you really look into something, and then you get it wrong, well, okay, all right, maybe you're wrong. But if you just hear something, even if everybody says it, you just hear it, you don't really look into it, then you might not be wrong per se. You were as right as you could be with the information you had. But again, this time I whipped out my little fluoride, 8-to-a-page piece of paper, and I just handed it to him, and I said, there you go, man. Like, we can, you know, I gave him a few facts, and I kind of like, you know, I kind of like doing this. I sometimes argue like a boxer, and I don't mean to make the show about me here, but sometimes I do argue and speak like a boxer, because I do, like, I'm just tired of being questioned on things. It's like, the hell you mean? Like, I don't question you if you looked into something for years, or you got a degree in X, Y, or Z. Well, I got a degree in this stuff, more or less, and I think a lot of other people do, too, and I think we shouldn't be treated like second-class citizens, and we shouldn't be shorted for what we know, because we find articles like this one that I'm going to read right now, and this is from April of 2000, from fluoridealert.org, just so you folks out there get an idea of what's going on here, and what we do discover. This is from Dr. Hardy Limeback, BSc, PhD, DDS, Associate Professor and Head, Preventive Dentistry, University of Toronto, and has his fax number, his telephone number, and his email right here. Again, fluoridealert.org/limeback.htm. So it says here, April 2000, to whom it may concern, why I am now officially opposed to adding fluoride to drinking water. And again, this is Dr. Hardy Limeback, U of T scientist, dental expert. Since April of 1999, I have publicly decried the addition of fluoride, especially hydrofluosilic acid, to drinking water for the purpose of preventing tooth decay. The following summarize my reasons. And he's got a massive article here. I'll just start this and then probably trail off. Modern studies published in the 80s and 90s show dental decay rates are so low in North America that the effects of water fluoridation cannot be measured. Because of the low prevalence of dental decay, water fluoridation studies today must be carefully conducted to correct for mobility of subjects between fluoridated and non-fluoridated areas, access to fluoride from other sources, the lack of binding, and the problems with the halo effect, and on and on and on. So the first three points are why it's not effective. And that's it. And those are the first three points, and they're thick, chunky, chewy paragraphs, maybe about four or five sentences long. And then, folks out there in CKLN Radio Listen Land, there are four even fatter points here, which says, new evidence for potential serious harm from long-term fluoride ingestion. That means us here in the T.O. And we got to get a little hot under the collar about this. Hydrofluorosilic acid, which is sodium fluoride, was what we used, is recovered from the smokestack scrubbers during the production of phosphate fertilizer and sold to most of the major cities in North America, which use this industrial-grade source of fluoride to fluoridate drinking water rather than the more expensive pharmaceutical-grade sodium fluoride salt. Fluorosilicates have never been tested for safety in humans. Furthermore, these industrial-grade chemicals are contaminated with trace amounts of heavy metals such as lead, arsenic, and radium that accumulate in humans. Increased lead levels have been found in children living in fluoridated communities. Osteosarcoma, aka bone cancer, has been shown to be associated with radium in the drinking water. Long-term ingestion of these harmful elements should be avoided altogether. And then it goes into stuff from the skeletal system and more stuff about bone fractures, joint pain, arthritic symptoms. And each of these, well, a lot of these little terms I'm reading here, there's a little green, they're kind of green and they're underlined, and I think that they can click to other things. Let me try this with the bone fracture thing, and oh, fluoride and bone fracture from fluoridealert.org, and it shows some graphs from the Journal of the American Medical Association circa 1991. So, and on and on and on. And so there's tons more of this stuff. And then with respect to references, looks to be about 100 or so references from J Epidemiology Community Health and Alfred Medical Center and New Zealand Pharmaceuticals and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so Google Dr. Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y-L-I-M-E-B-A-C-K, forward this article to your friends, print it off, hand it out. Vancouver, Montreal, and most of Europe do not use fluoride in their water. They do not ingest fluoride on a regular basis. Their food at restaurants and so on isn't made with fluoride. Their coffee isn't made with fluoride, and on and on and on and on. And there's no noticeable difference in the health of their teeth. It's not... Fluoride might be topical. It might work on the top of your teeth, like Ajax or Windex or Pisol or Lysol. And you can scrub it on the top of your teeth and you can get some crap off. But in terms of ingesting it, this is something that we've known about for decades. And as Christopher Bryson, journalist, who I was quoting in the song Fluoride, there's a bit of a clip of him there from the movie, the documentary film The Fluoride Deception, about 45 minutes, says fluoride poisoning actually started the environmental movement in Denora, New York, because some workers were getting sick from fluoride poisoning. Recently, articles seen at Infowars.com from Australian papers, mainstream Australian papers, say kangaroos are eating fluoridated, vegetation that soaks up fluoride water from nearby runoffs from local cities, and kangaroos are dying. They're dropping dead. And farmers will tell you, if cows and horses and so on, if they have to drink city water because the local well dries up or whatever, and farmers got to pump in, then the cows and horses get sick, and they suffer cancer, they drop dead. So we're drinking this every day, folks, and I drink fluoridated water, and I shouldn't, and none of us should, and that's why today until March 11th at TorontoTrueSeekers.com, we are launching a campaign to give all of our city councillors a copy of the Fluoride Deception and accompanying package. And here in this election year, we're going to see if they respond. We're going to say, hey, you guys, within a month or so, take an hour or two to look at this, watch the documentary, read some of the materials, and then take an hour to meet with us on video. Share your thoughts on what this is, because this is not about fluoride as in what do you think, what do you want to believe, just choosing your reality based on what you think is going to make you more money or keep your job, or whatever, safer, smarter to say, to whatever the nonsense, cut the crap. Here's the point. If Torontonians watch the fluoride deception and go, holy crap, that's messed up, and their city councilors watch the fluoride deception and go, what? I don't see anything wrong. What? Yeah, what's the big deal? Then maybe they shouldn't be your elected representatives. However, if we can get them to watch these movies and see the other proof that we have, then it's entirely possible that we can make some moves on these issues, and that is the point. So here in this election year in Toronto, with 44 city councilors up for re-election, definitely going to make fluoride an issue in this city one way or another, and this is certainly one way, so look for plans on that at TorontoTrueSeekers.com. We've been doing great work in the city on the vaccine H1N1 issue, exposed some of the risks of vaccines when the media was only talking about the potential benefits, and vaccines are another great big pharmacide, big industry scam. Anyway, fluoride is more the aluminum industry selling what they use for roach and rat poison as good for our teeth in small doses just because the effects on us are slow. So anyway, TorontoTrueSeekers.com. We're going to try and hook up all 44 members. It should cost about $5 a package or $200. And maybe a half a dozen, 10, 12 of us will lead the charge of building a coalition in the city of different groups and individuals who support this measure, and that'll go forward. But why are we doing this? Why do problems like fluoride poisoning persist for like 70, 80 years when we knew it was bad that long ago, at least according to many of the studies and newspaper articles and protests at the time in the 30s? Well, that's because we're up against a shadow government. There's a new film called Shadow Government, and the makers of Shadow Government, the filmmakers, were on the Alex Jones Show yesterday. Shadow Government's the best seller of the new DVDs at Infowars.com, which clearly means people like it and are talking about it and telling others about it. So do check out Shadow Government online, but first, do check out this interview with the makers of the film Shadow Government.
The census worker coming up and marking your GPS point on your home. I mean, the film covers the big picture. It zooms into the micro. That's what's so powerful about it, and it's got great actors. I mean, the whole thing is illustrated where people can really get an idea of what's happening.
Well, yes, I think that we were able to convey with Andre's help and direction the real truth that what is happening behind the scenes is our politicians are ceding our national independence, our constitutional independence. These people believe that global government is the solution to avoid a third world war as one of their motives. But you and I both know that the history of the planet shows that civil wars are by far the worst type of war, whether the American Civil War, where we look at the Russian
Civil War. And there's going to be civil wars against this global government because it's authoritarian. Even in the words of the Financial Times of London, they endorse an authoritarian system. Meanwhile, the globalists always hand out weapons to other countries and actually stir up the conflicts. And internal memorandums like State Department Memorandum 200, they talk about starting wars to reduce population. So at the top, they're pure evil. I agree they have a lot of useful idiots that support them at the governmental and academic and corporate level, believing in the propaganda.
Right. And what I point out in both the documentary and the book with very ample source citations, there are three major groups. The Bilderberger Group, who call themselves internally the Alliance, primarily European, royal, as well as multinational leaders, incredibly wealthy people, who want world government. Then you've got the group, the Council of Foreign Relations, that is primarily American with about 3,000 members. And then you have a trilateral commission that was formed by Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski, his security advisor, back in the 70s, which basically has representatives from both the Asia and from Europe and from North America. All three groups absolutely are aiming toward global government by stealth, by international treaties, and by other means. These individuals have set an agenda which they know the public does not support, and so they're introducing it step by step without people being fully aware that we're ceding our national independence and our representative government. And I really point out that the European Union, with 27 nations, is really an executive commission of appointed individuals who make decisions behind locked doors, and the so-called European Parliament is nothing more than a high school debating society because all the power is exercised by 27 appointed people, and there's no remedy. There's nothing an individual can do.
Well, they admit that. I mean, when Obama became the first U.S. president to be president and the head of the U.N. Security Council, CNN said, this is the ultimate level of power in the global government. This is the only group that has any power in the UN. And all of those individuals are Bilderberg Group members or members of the regional roundtable groups. And Carol Quigley, as you know, wrote a whole book about this. He worked for them, 900 pages, Tragedy and Hope, breaking it all down. And my listeners are aware of this true global architecture. And, of course, the film covers that. But you also break down how they plan to implement their control and surveillance over the population. We're going to go to break in a moment, but I want to go to Andre Van Heerden, the director and producer, for a moment. What do you think is most important in the film Shadow Government, the masterpiece that you've produced?
I have to say right off the top that when I approached this topic and was talking to Grant, I was approaching it as a skeptic. I was looking at a lot of this stuff as a conspiracy theory. I didn't believe a lot of it was true. I thought there was nuggets of truth maybe buried within it. But as I started doing the research and working with Grant and looking at his book and started interviewing the various people, and you mentioned some, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, Daniel Estulin, Richard Griffin, Edward G. Griffin, sorry, the information that was coming out and the evidence, the support evidence for all this, the documentation for all this, made it, you know, implicitly clear that this was true.
Yeah, this is an open conspiracy. That's what's so frustrating is they're announcing world government on the nightly news, and then next they cut to the Southern Poverty Law Center saying these Tea Party people are dangerous, they're delusional, they believe in a global government.
And what you just said is the most striking thing about the documentary is that if you don't believe in it, suddenly you look at the headlines of your newspaper, and exactly what the documentary is talking about is right there. It's all right in front of you. And I think people are really getting the sense that it is there. Even if they think it's a conspiracy theory, they can look in the world around them and say, yeah, you know what, I know I'm being tracked. Yes, I know all my financial transactions are being tracked and monitored. I know this is all happening, and that's what makes it so scary and so true.
And then you look at the research of the terror attacks in the U.S. and other countries, and you find out the NSA, every time, bare minimum, knew exactly what was happening and let it take place, like the case of the underwear bomber. Again, this surveillance cuts two ways. We'll be right back with the makers of the film Shadow Government, available at Infowars.com, discounted right now. Just the castaway. is our guest. He's the writer of the book, Shadow Government, made into the documentary film by Andre Van Heerden. Both of them are with us. Again, the film covers so much and consciously gets people to realize how everything we're doing is being tracked and traced. Continue breaking down other key parts of the film that people need to be made aware of. Mr. Jeffrey.
Well, one of the aspects that makes shadow government a reality is that not only do you have this very deeply held agenda by these globalist groups, which, by the way, as an example, the Bilderberger Group, during the 2008 election, back last summer, year and a half ago, they invited both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to their secret meeting in Virginia, just north of Washington. And in knowing that one of them, within 7 months, would be taking their inauguration as President of the United States, taking an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, domestic and foreign. And yet they were invited to attend a secret meeting, which they don't talk about. Part of the rules of the Bilderberger and the other two groups are what's called Chatham House rules, which mean that no one who goes there by invitation only is allowed to quote anything that is said or identify who said it. And they were invited to go to this secret meeting, and the planners of that meeting definitely want to bring America down in both its economy, its military, and politically.
And they publicly say that now. And they publicly say that, and China is the new model where they give tax incentives and everything else to move all our industry over there, and we've got all the phony environmentalists calling for a global government run by the very banks that meet at Bilderberg Group meetings, saying that we will pay our taxes directly to them. From your research, Mr. Jeffrey, there's no doubt, certainly in my mind, but I want to know from your research, that we are now entering the final phase of open world government.
Absolutely, and I found an interesting document that you might find interesting, Alex. This document was written by the Council of the Club of Rome, and it was published in 1993 in a booklet called The First Global Revolution. And in fact, is on the Internet. Someone can look it up if they want. Here's a quote. It says, quote, "In searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite," meaning the globalists, "we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming and water shortages, famine, and the like, would fit the bill. In their totality and their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which must be confronted by everyone together. All these dangers are caused by human intervention in natural processes. It's only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself." Now, that's chilling. Because that means that back in 1993, the globalists identified man's natural love of Earth and the environment as a way to achieve their real goal, which is an incredible socialistic control of nations, companies, and individual activity, and to also achieve it on a global level and do it by stealth, appealing to something which they would emphasize and exaggerate so that people would be willing to take any type of restriction whatsoever and taxes to achieve saving of the planet. And this is the underlying real motive that I have found in the research that I have been doing that is pushing the exaggerated danger of global warming.
And they chose carbon dioxide, the life-giving gas, because that's what humans exhale. And now we have video from just 2 weeks ago of Bill Gates saying, here are humans. They put out carbon dioxide. We have to get rid of at least half of them. The UN in their document says 80%. Ted Turner, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, the head climatologist at NASA says the global taxes are meant to destroy our industrial economy. I mean, this is a very dangerous group who have control of the issuance of currency and credit, and they don't want a free market. They don't want us living well. They want us poor and under their control. And they proposed 3 months ago at Copenhagen a global one-child policy. And that's why shadow government is so important, because it shows we are under a global shadow government now coming out of the shadows through the G20, announcing that later this year or early next year they are going to set up a global constitution of the banks, the private central banks, setting up a global government publicly, even above the UN, that we will pay our carbon taxes to, and it's here. And we have to warn people, and that's why the film Shadow Government is so important. We've got a long segment coming up, so we won't have these interruptions. When we come back, I want to get the director and producer's take on what we're discussing, Andre Van Heerden. And, of course, we've got Grant Jeffrey on the line with us, the writer of the book that this became a film, also the host of Shadow Government. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be awake out there. A lot of you more awake than I am. The point is, the public's now ready to be awakened, and films like Obama Deception, Fall of the Republican Shadow Government are the tools to get out to the people.
You are watching a master.
Yeah! Yeah!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
Back to the New World Order!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
Back to the New World Order!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
Back to the New World Order.
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
Back to the New World Order.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. I want war. And that was the filmmakers of Shadow Government, Mr. Jeffries and Mr. Van Heerden, I believe, on the Alex Jones Show from yesterday, March 3rd, 2010. And, yeah, their film Shadow Government does break down the people behind the scenes who do control our culture. We do see things promoted in our culture widely. We have to wonder why, because our culture is getting a bit more unstable, a bit more crisis-ridden. And yet people are, you know, I was hanging out with a couple of friends yesterday, my man and his girl, and I was saying, what's up? And it's funny, man. In these situations, it's a little strange because I know what I got to say. You know, you look great. Say something polite and throw away and you can get out of a situation. But I was like, no. I'm just going to say my ish kind of straight, like it is what it is and it is what I'm up to. And she was cool with that. That was very, very cool. But started off pretty slow. I said, what you up to? And she pretty much said, I'm just working and chilling out. And then we got into a conversation about what I was up to. And I said, look, running for mayor and this and that, doing the radio show, trying to take on some big issues. And I told her, I said, frankly, I think it's up to guys, males, age 25 to 45, of able mind and able body with half a pair and half a brain to take on these issues. And women and children, hey, you can if you want, whatever. But I think, you know, the pressure should be on guys. And she turns to me and she says, you know, you better not say that to women in this city. And I said, I'm going to say that to everybody, because I think if men took a more active interest in these, in protecting women and children in the city and being more respectful of them, then we'd have a better city. So, you know, hey, that's how it's going to go down. And as your mayor, if I do happen to win the election, then that's how it's going to go down. That's something that's going to be influenced and pushed in this city, in one way or another, although probably not with a ton of tax dollars. Like the escalator safety ads our current city government's pushing. My God. Black, white, and red saying up and then giving instructions on holding a handle. And there's signs for how to wash your hands and there's signs for how to sneeze on your sleeve. And it's death to the New World Order. And some people will say, you know, hey, you're advocating for violence, so we're a nonviolent group, aren't we? And it's an understandable concern when you're screaming death to the New World Order 16 times in a row on a track twice, because I did that, and then I did backups. But as George Bush Sr., the former president of the United States, said on September 11th, 1990, and then he referenced it again in 1991, he said,
it's a warning shot.
George H.W. Bush said in 1991, it is a big idea, a new world order. And Mark Bills and I used to joke about that a lot when we did our show on Tuesdays from the summer of 06 to about the summer of 08. Tuesday mornings, Rude Awakening, my co-host Mark Bills. Shout out to Mr. Bills. Hope he's doing great. The point is here with respect to this whole New World Order problem situation thingy is they give us ideas that they promote in our culture, and then we get kind of used to them, and it changes the way our culture works over time. There's Fabian socialism involved. If you don't know who the Fabian socialists are, Google them. And you know, their logo is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So that gives you an idea of how they like to roll. Gordon Brown's a member, current Prime Minister of England, and many others around the world, and they are incrementalists. They incrementally change. And I notice these changes as someone who's kind of a tourist here on planet Earth at this point in many ways, because I'm actively trying to decode the Matrix. Yeah, I'm not worried about my schedule, not really remembering what happened yesterday, not particularly worrying enough about what's happening tomorrow, but kind of working out what I'm doing today, and that is breaking down the game as I see it being played around me. And so, for example, I'm at another buddy's house, and he recommends, if I'm going for a pack of smokes, the new Belmont, like super skinny ones. He says that's the best tasting cigarette he's ever had. And Belmonts are a good cigarette if you smoke out there. Not advocating smoking. I'm just talking about the fact that it is something that's done in our culture. And if you're going to, this is a good way to. And if you don't want to, probably better for you. But he referred to them as bitch sticks. Bitch sticks. And that's a super skinny cigarette. Now, and I apologize for the language I'm quoting here. Now, I remember a few years ago, in mixed company, in common company, something that was common to say was chick sticks. They used to be known as chick sticks. And, you smoking chick sticks? Come on, smoke a real cigarette. You might crack on each other that way. But that's an example of one of the slighter changes in our culture. You can see the hemlines in fashion, moving up. For those of you out there who know what camel toe is, if you decide to, know sin well enough to condemn it, I gotta say, I really, really want to condemn sin, so hey, what happens? But, well, anyway, you look for it, and you see that's out there in advertising now. And there's a lot of suggestiveness, a lot of, sort of hands draped between the legs and sexuality and a lot of F faces out there. And there's lots of good reasons for this because it drives us nuts. That's the really good reason for it. And I did promise this week that I was going to talk about porn, and so I certainly am. And didn't get to it earlier, but here's the thing. Flashing back to Buddy's house last night, his girl said to me, you better not take that attitude of, see, there's pretty girls on my screen here at henrymakow.com, and I had to cover it with my Winamp to finish this thought, because that's how powerful pretty girls are to the average male raised in this culture. Or below average, I don't know what you think of me, but whatever. the point is that this is what happens, and this is why it's promoted, and this is why women are told to focus on how hot they look. It's not for their own empowerment, it's to confuse everybody, including themselves, because when you place all your worth on that, in what is essentially, sorry ladies, a wasting asset, because as you get older, it's just tougher and tougher to maintain that, even if you work out and everything. It's just, you're going to notice changes yourself, and there's always new beautiful young girls out there for the guys who are supposedly impressed by the way you look at instead. So, you know, there's got to be another way that you put yourself on the map as an individual and validate your worth. Okay, so back to my man's place, him and his girl, and I say, look, I think guys got to do more. I think guys got to step up. I think men got to act like men. And I said I got a soft spot for women and children. I do, because I do have a soft spot for women and children. I do. And as for men, I don't know. I haven't met any yet. And I don't even think I am one. But the point is, at least you aim towards that, and by doing things that may or may not be seen as traditionally male or manly. And that doesn't mean drinking beer and watching sports and arguing about, the UFC or whatever, watching other guys beat on each other. Being a man involves more than vicarious existence, or more than, riding other guys' jocks and cheering for them. It involves doing stuff yourself, to certify, what you're worth in this culture and what you as a man are worth with respect to, what can you do? What can you do in this culture to improve it, to show your strength, to show your capability, to show your creativity? And so anyway, I said to her, look, And this is from Henry, MAKOW.com. Again, I don't co-sign everything he says. And you know, I've scrapped a little bit, you know, argumentatively. But, you know, there's an amazing interview I did with him called Feminism, the people, the problem with the people who give us our problems, which talks about, well, basically the problem with the people behind the big ideas. The idea of women getting empowerment, equality, and all that is good. But the major institutions behind promoting feminist orthodoxy are questionable. Gloria Steinem, you know, admitted she took funding from the CIA. Other feminists have been former communists and Eastern Star, female Masons, basically. Eastern Star is the female Mason group. And their goal was to break up the family. They basically said, you know, we need to break up the family by making sure women competed with men as opposed to supported a man and then, you know, being comfortable with the fact that they had a man who was worth supporting and that they were proud to support. And that's not to say women shouldn't get theirs, and that's not to say the culture shouldn't change and we shouldn't evolve and that women shouldn't, we shouldn't turn back time. But in terms of getting better, with divorce rates climbing over 50%, and with all sorts of crazy intergenerational sex going on out there, and people complaining in some ways about relationships, if they know to, and if they don't know to, people being less happy than you'd remember people when they were in relationships, if you can remember that far back, and I'm talking about just a few years ago. So now there's a little journey I'll take you on here with respect to pornography, but to wrap up the example with the young lady, I said, you know what, women want security and men want power, and she kind of girlishly said, I want the power, and I said, if you take away your power, and you take away your man's power, then that guy that could provide for you, that guy that could kick another guy's butt if he tried to break into this place, into your place, into your house, that guy who was a source of power, a rock for you, if you take away his power, then you're going to be miserable because now you got a man with no power. And that's no good. And a woman can turn her man into a liar or a wussy. They're that powerful. They're that beautiful, that lovely. He'll just start lying to you, honey. I was hanging out with the boys. He really went to the strip club or whatever, saw another girl. Or he'll turn into a total wussy. Yes, dear. No, dear. The wife. The boss and all this sort of thing. These are ideas that are engineered in our culture. And even she admitted that, you know, she hated this and a lot of her friends hated the kind of sitcom stereotype, the everybody loves Raymond sort of thing. So here's the thing. We all know bits and pieces of the quote unquote conspiracy or bits and pieces of the BS we've picked up on because so much of it is promoted in our culture. We've got to know why that BS is promoted, why it's promoted widely, who promotes that, how come it's not questioned, and so on. And if we do that, if we figure that out, we'll get to the shadow government. One way or another. We'll get to the Tavistock Institute at tavistock.org, T-A-V-I-S-T-O-C-K. You can go check there. One of their floating, you know, logo taglines is, we plan for the unexpected. And it's a bit of a joke because they do. They plan for the unexpected. We don't expect it. They plan for it. And they help make it happen as a major brainwashing institute of psychology and study and human development and all that sort of thing. So they're among the centers of this. They're in London. Chatham House, are the Royal Institute for International Affairs. There's even something called Chatham House Rules. C-H-A-T-H-A-M. C-H-A-T-H-A-M. That's correct. Chatham House Rules. Where if you go to a secret meeting like Bilderberg or at Chatham House, you're not allowed to reveal or quote anything that was said or reveal anybody who said it. And that's again out of London. So that's the source of a lot of this, even though we perceive a lot of it coming out of Hollywood and so on. As Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com explained, there were meetings in the 20s and then again in the 50s and 60s to kind of say, we'll promote the culture out of Hollywood, New York. And sort of worldwide, all the sort of power brokers got together and agreed on that. But here at HenryMAKOW.com, I can't read this. This first article here. Well, all right. I'll say this. Dr. Henry MAKOW is Jewish. and he is into exposing the corrupt Jews in our culture, because you know, a lot of times they have groups that protect them like other people do, and there's, you know, everybody does this, and everybody has groups that protect the corrupt people in their culture. That's why there's corrupt people in every culture. But as a guy who's Jewish himself, he takes special pleasure in cleaning house and himself, and I take special pleasure in that as a brown guy. You know, when I see guys like the current governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, I think total, you know, neocon sellout snitch. I even wrote a song called Uncle Tom's Grabbin', where I said, you know I hate to see Uncle Tom's grabbin'. You know I can't just let it be. Back in 2005, to the Dead Prez Beat Hip Hop, for my first mixtape, The Bootleg 9 Revolutionary Weapon, ripping into Condoleezza Rice and so on. So I can see where he's coming from this, but I have not looked at this article carefully enough to screen it before I read it to you, because you're just going to get in trouble for getting into this area if you don't have any cover fire. But he did an excellent article on porn, which I saw fairly recently. And it did break down a lot of details. Let's see here. Yeah, he names a whole bunch of people, whole bunch of sourcing. All right, Scrape TV News, unbelievable. All right. Back, CKLS. Sorry about that. Just trying to pull this up here. This article at henrymakow.com. And the reason this is so important is because, well, I'll give you another example. Another buddy of mine, you know, talking to a buddy about planning a party. Talking about planning a party. Buddy's buddy. So secondhand story, but I trust my buddy. And he says basically, yeah, he's got his music collection, and he's got his porn collection that he's going to play on the TV, which is on. And he says, yeah, well, you know, someone will ask you to turn on the TV, but if it's already on, no one will ask to change the channel. Everybody likes porn, so we're going to play that. And it's a party about 20-something people, and they all got together, and the girls all said, hey, let's wear bikinis, and guys, you guys dress up as hip-hop gangsters, kind of like P. Diddy. And we'll all get together, and the girls all got drunk, and they all took turns kind of sliding across the laps of some of the guys and getting a little, you know, paddywhack line on a couch. And it's all good, sort of innocent, silly, crazy fun, and I'm just talking, hearing my buddy in horror, and I'm like, you know, my God. If you people don't stop doing this, can I come? No, wait, well, no, come on. But listen, it's of course it's fun, but why do we do these things? Why is this what we're focused on? And so it's important to sort of figure that out. Because we don't really know at this point. We don't really know, why we're, here we go. Alrighty, I'm a prisoner of porn and can't escape. Alright, three porn, drugged and bruised prostitutes by David Richards. Alright, so I'm gonna read a bit of this article here. Alright, so okay, this is on henrymakow.com by David Richards for henrymakow.com. He's a UK citizen teaching English in China. See his personal statement at the end. Alright, Shelley Lubin left believed she was ready to shoot her first porn film. She was in for a shock. When I walked in, it's like a dark satanic anointing just fell on me. It was creepy, it was dark, it was eerie, and it was nothing like prostitution. I knew I was in the devil's territory. This was the final frontier of Satan. During the little satanic ritual that followed, she hit rock bottom. I sold what was left of my heart, mind, and femininity to the porn industry, and the woman and person in me died completely on set. Then off quote. Then something remarkable began to happen. Shelley's survival instincts kicked in, and she reconnected with the Christian God of her childhood. And after taking a long and slow period of rehab to recover from her ordeal, she started on a crusade to expose the reality of porn. And she markets herself televangelist style. And using this article, this gentleman, David, has written this article here, breaking this down. It says here, motivation. Porn stars rarely get started out of free-willed love of sexual exhibitionism. Along with poverty and broken families, childhood abuse is very common. And I'm reading a book right now called The Franklin Cover-Up by John DeCamp. And The Franklin Cover-Up is a book about a scandal in Omaha, Nebraska, with respect to child abuse and Satanism, and basically satanic pedophile cults that extend to the highest levels of government and the U.S. government and governments worldwide, and involves Satanism and pedophilia and drug dealing and graft and corruption. And that interfaces, and by the way, this has all been well documented. There have been court cases, there have been grand jury investigations, there's been ridiculous stonewalling by the major agencies, local police departments, by the FBI, by judges there suppressing evidence. And yet there are people that persist, including Senator John DeCamp, a lawyer who wrote The Franklin Cover-Up. And in there, they describe what happens at a lot of orphanages with respect to kids being in the sex trade, and the child sex trade. And even out of the recent Haiti disaster, there were reports of children being trafficked for sex and kind of related as normal. I mean, when a report like that comes out, anybody who's in public service should flip their wig and look into that immediately, because that's just the craziest thing ever. What? They're trafficking children? What? This is crazy. And so flash forward to porn. The people that are being used in porn to change the way we have sex and the way we relate to each other and the way we relate to, the way men relate to women and the way women relate to men and the way we relate to ourselves and what we like, the people that are being used to do this in porn are often very high on drugs, are often very broke, are often put in positions where they don't want to get a bad rep in the industry, so they'll do anything. So basically they're being sort of semi-raped on camera, and we're supposed to emulate that in our own sex lives. And a lot of people do, and a lot of people are demanding that these days. So it's something to keep an eye out for, because it's so normal in our culture. You can say porn, you know, horse porn. You can even joke about child porn. You can joke about midget porn. You know, this is not, and it's funny enough. I said a couple of days ago, I'm going to sodomize porn on Thursday's show, and it's kind of foul, but then there are people that like porn, that understand that. And I don't want to be an academic. I'm a populist here on the show as your host, BK. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN Rude Awakening, 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Also archive.org, radioforall.net, blackchristian.blogspot.com to get downloadable links. But the point is that I'm not trying to put down anybody. I'm trying to make everybody look up and say, how did this happen? You know, how do we move this quickly through the world? So it says here, Shelley said, and again, this is Shelley Lubin, in an article from February 22nd, 2010 at henrymakow.com. And she's a former porn star turned anti-porn activist. Shelley said, many actresses admit they've experienced sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, and neglect by parents. Some were raped by relatives and molested by neighbors. When we were little girls, we wanted to play with dollies and be mummies, not have big scary men get on top of us. So we were taught at a young age that sex made us valuable. Often they are teenage runaways picked up by pimps. They only escape one circle of abuse by entering another. They can't run from the pain, so they go towards it. Fast forward a few years, and they find themselves in a zombified state, drunk and drugged on a porn set as they relive the same abuse they experienced growing up. Shelley continues, quote, the same horrible violations we experienced then, we relive through as we perform our tricks for you in front of the camera, and we hate every minute of it. Chrissy Moran, who still, I think, has a website out there, because, again, once you're in these things, what else are you going to do? You can come out and make statements like this, but then you got to earn your rent, or you got to try and maintain your lifestyle. So I think she said this, and then she went back into it, because I did Google her name to see if she'd actually left this left this industry after she said this. But here's what she said. I went through more heartbreak and became suicidal. I was taken to the hospital for panic attacks. I tried to overdose on Xanax, strangle myself and cut my wrists, but not nearly deep enough. I was too scared of the pain. I prayed God would just take me away. I felt helpless. I even went to church for a few months, but the guilt I felt was so overwhelming that I would feel as if I were choking when I was at church. I had to choose, and once again, I chose to continue sinning. It was easier, and I needed the money. And it's changed a lot, too, for people out there who've seen porn. I'm not going to say I'm above or below this. I'm not going to say anything like that. This is an objective conversation, so none of you take it personally, and I won't take it personally. We are talking about a phenomena in our culture that's public. I remember Liz Hurley and other celebrities a couple years ago wearing porn star T-shirts to basketball games, being photographed and so on, and they made that cool, and these days it's very, very popular, too. But brutality. The brutality of most, back to the article, the brutality of most porn videos is obvious to anyone who has seen one. A typical film consists of one or more huge guys on steroids having violent sex with a girl. Porn users only see a well-edited film. They don't see what happens behind the scenes. The girls that are crying and throwing up because they can't handle the hardcore acts they are being told to do. Jersey Jackson explains what awaits you on set. Quote, guys punching you in the face. You have semen from many guys all over your face, in your eyes. You get ripped. Your insides can come out of you. It's never ending. A girl's first time on camera can be horrific. She's disoriented under the bright lights, and the sex is shockingly violent. The experience is more akin to an abusive alien induction than a pleasurable sexual one. This is how Genevieve described her first scene. Quote, it was one of the worst experiences of my life. It was very scary. It was a very rough scene. My agent didn't let me know ahead of time. I did it, and I was crying, and they didn't stop. It was really violent. He was hitting me. It hurt. It scared me more than anything. They wouldn't stop. They just kept rolling, and it goes on. So definitely look into that. Another article I saw recently was called Kids Addicted to Porn from the Dallas Observer, a massive six-page article by Paul Knight from February 18th, 2010, linked through from henrymackow.com, henrymackow.com, again, to check these out. And it does show how so many kids these days are getting addicted to it. Kids are getting just crazy dehydrated from doing nothing but playing video games and masturbating. And this is the generation that's being created by this. And who's speaking out against this? There are groups out there that say they care for these, for people in general, for kids and so on. Where the hell are they on these issues? That again reveals a shadow government and New World Order, the utter silence about these issues. So anyway, this is a bit of a theme show today, breaking down the shadow government, breaking down fluoride. I'm gonna let you go shortly, so Mr. Bill Watson can hook you up with a sweet four-hour jazz bungee experience. Do stick around for that. But a quick check of the Metro here, just the cover's got a car ad on it. But here, is that you, Chief Wiggum? Kentucky Sheriff says a claustrophobic deputy has lost his job after accidentally locking himself in a jail cell and trying to shoot his way out of it. Okay, so that's the first article the Metro wants us to read. Tories target red ink. Throne speech takes aim at record $56 billion deficit. Again, folks, the conservatives brag they got a surplus when they want to. Now they got a deficit. What the heck's going on? Drivers haven't dialed in a new distraction law. Private transit a good value in York Region. So you can see when there are satanic pedophile guilds running the world, how they roll and what they want us to focus on. But you know, hey, that, you know, that's it's not the end of the world. And folks, as long as we know to look for information about the big memes in our culture, then we'll know how we can counteract it. So, pre-new microphone, I'm going to leave you with my little R&B track shout out. Wrote a couple years ago called Lay You Down, Hold You Down, where I make the point that if I'm going to lay you down, then I'm going to hold you down, to all the ladies out there in principle, because I think that's the only way to do it. I know that when I've been happy with who I've been with, I mean genuinely happy, when I've been in a good, committed relationship with a girl that I could trust and a girl that I knew wouldn't cheat on me and I knew I wouldn't cheat on her, I felt I was doing good. I really did. And so I definitely recommend this out there for all you folks as well. Shoutouts to Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, ConspiracyCulture.com, PressForTruth.ca, TheFreedomLink.org, and many other great sites out there to check out. Have a great day, everybody. And again, treat each other better, because the way we treat each other on film is something that we're supposed to emulate. But let's try and end the hate and see if we can beat that debate. Peace out.
love you so. Let me hold you down. There's nowhere we can't go. I am what it was the best. All I ever got stress and dress. And you just came along and messed with my mind, oh my mind. Anytime I wanna feel so blessed, I just gotta look at you and guess. Hair perfect, wanna make a mess of your mind, oh your mind. See you smile so perfectly, she said now she's finally free. Life's a stage, she started me, only thing on my mind. How can I deserve to be with someone who's so perfectly described just what I wanna be? On my mind, oh my mind, lay you down. Take control of your soul. Let me hold you down. There's no way we can go. So many pictures in magazines telling you just how you should be. I'm telling you, don't be telling me if that's on your mind. I'm telling you to be telling me how you're feeling, how I'll be feeling me. Realest things that ever be on your mind, I don't mind. Let me hold you, I can calm you down. Let me hold you so you know I'm down. Let me hold you, that's what I'm around. Close your eyes, girl, I see it's going down. Let me hold you, I can calm you down. Let me hold you so you know I'm down. Let me hold you, that's what I'm around. Close your eyes, girl, I see it's going down. Let you down. Take control of your soul. Let me hold you down.